asset optimization is an ongoing journey. It's a full spectrum of things that you can do, and it's certainly not a one-time destination.
You're listening to Conversations by Cushman and Wakefield. In this four-part series, we're rethinking the office and how this asset class can be optimized for a new era. I'm Amy Kelly. Thanks for joining.
If no news is good news, then the news at the moment is not good for commercial real estate. The media hasn't been this interested in CRE since the global financial crisis. In fact, every day there seems to be a news story about CRE debt, vacant offices, and what it could mean for the industry. Joining me today to talk about what it all means for investors, and hopefully to find some upside, is James Young from Investor Services and Christine Ho, who works alongside investor clients on projects ranging from feasibility studies to construction project management. Hi, James. Hi, Christine.
Hi, Amy.
Hi there.
It's nice to have you both here today. Thanks for joining. To start us off, I would be interested to hear from both of you what your clients are most worried about at the moment. Do you find there is maybe a topic you find yourself talking about a lot? Christine, what are clients most concerned about at the moment?
As asset owners, they've got this tricky balancing act to figure out. They want to optimize their properties, but at the same time, they've got to consider the bottom line, the return on investment. It's all about strategizing what they want and need versus what they can actually achieve and put into action. And let me tell you, the pressure's on because tenant demand and expectations keep evolving.
If I just jump in there to give you my views as well, Amy, I think I get the benefit, obviously, of being able to see across the globe when talking to our largest investor clients in terms of what they are actually seeing at present. And if you had to boil that down into one single issue, I think the issue around potential contagion coming out of the US and the office sector in the US is the thing that I get asked most about. How is that contagion spreading across the globe? Well, the good thing is it's not necessarily spreading as much as you might think. There are some issues in the US around return to office and vacancy rates. But in actual fact, those are broadly contained. And in many instances in other regions such as EMEA and certainly in APAC, we're seeing very, very different fundamentals that actually give me optimism around the office sector.
And James, you recently moved into the Asia Pacific region from London. What have been your early observations of the office market here compared to in Europe? Would you say the challenges are similar?
Well, obviously, there are similar challenges, and operating across the region, whether it's in EMEA or in APAC, you've got lots of different countries, lots of different cultures, lots of different languages. I think if you look at many of the markets in Europe that we deal with, you've got that regulatory bar is being raised from an environmental perspective, and we're very much starting to see that come through in many of the Asia Pacific markets as well. Having said that, I think fundamentally, I've been incredibly impressed by the CBD within most of the major cities across APAC. The return to office, as I mentioned before, has been fantastic. If you just go into any, you know, we're here in Singapore, if you go to Hong Kong, where I've been recently, or if you go to Melbourne, if you go to Mumbai, people are back in the office and it's buzzing and thriving. And that certainly gives me optimism around the offices sector as a whole.
The common theme here is there are regulatory compliances combined with requirements to attract and retain occupiers through a first-class work environment.
I'm curious to know, in this current environment, if you're seeing a preference for smaller CapEx projects, or are investors still willing to spend big on the right projects? James, you can start this one.
Look, I think providing the right environment for your customer has got to be paramount for any investor or developer. And that environment very much depends on what's already there. It also depends on where your building is located. When you look at amenities that are around the building. So that will obviously influence what it is you have to put in the building. If your building sits sort of on its own somewhere, then you're going to have to amenitize the building much more than if you're right in the heart of the CBD with lots of restaurants and bars and gyms, etc., around the building. So that needs to be weighed up by the developer. But the reality is that we're seeing in most buildings the need to put in sort of cafes and restaurants, potentially some form of wellness type space, possibly gym, flexible space at the moment, co-working, etc., very much being looked at by lots of the big investor developers. So that whole range of different services are going into the best offices now that are there to attract the best occupiers.
And many of these landlords are even putting in community programs as well. As for the E side of ESG, landlords are providing sustainable health and wellness-centered environments because this is exactly what tenants are demanding.
And I think, Amy, if you look at examples of where that is really working best, I mean, there's probably no better example than the one that I'm sitting in at the moment, which is Capital Spring, our office here in Singapore. The amenities that have been provided in here, whether it's the restaurants downstairs or up on the roof, whether it's the sort of communal gardens within the building that you can go to, or indeed the public garden space at the top. You know, there's everything in the building here that is going to help any company, including Cushman & Wakefield, to actually get their staff into the office and keep them in the office as well.
And to get that mix right, we're seeing there is a rise in partnerships between landlords and tenants. That engagement piece is so important to find common ground, shared interests, and a shared vision for outcomes that work for both parties.
What about landlords who see value in rethinking their assets, but who perhaps don't have the appetite for a Capita Spring-sized rebuild? What are the lighter touch options available to them?
Well, all these are termed under the umbrella phrase of asset enhancement initiatives, or AEI. And these come in a full spectrum of scope, scales, and CapEx budgets. Where it's aimed at attracting and retaining clients, they typically involve a mix of refurbishment and retrofitting, which can also enhance the positioning of the building and the asset value. So by refurbishment, what we're referring to is renovation that improves the look and feel of the property. So this is aesthetically driven, and it can be on the interior or the exterior. Retrofitting involves the upgrading of infrastructure, technology, building engineering systems, affecting the performance of the building in terms of energy efficiency, water, and waste management. By improving this, they can bring down operational costs for the occupier, as well as improve the tenant and visitor experience. So many of our projects combine both. Let me give you an example. For the AEI of Robinson 112 here in Singapore that we are project managing, the revamped building will have a new architectural facade, a new, larger, brighter lobby that incorporates a concierge as well as F&B offerings, and new end-of-trip facilities, as well as renovated lift lobbies and washrooms on all the tenant floors. On the sustainability side, we've carried out an energy audit to inform a sustainability strategy, which would include GreenMark recertification to meet the more stringent GreenMark 2021 criteria.
Christine, I think that goes to the point that an investor landlord doesn't necessarily need to have a massive CapEx bill in order to enhance the asset that they've got. There are things that can be done on an incremental basis to help improve the asset from a sustainability perspective and also from an occupier attractiveness perspective.
Asset optimization is an ongoing journey. It's a full spectrum of things that you can do, and it's certainly not a one-time destination. It involves taking gradual, progressive steps over time rather than attempting everything at once. We can do those energy audits and work out the gaps and work out a prioritization plan and roll things out selectively.
James, I'd be interested in whether you're seeing the clients you speak to, some of the larger institutional owners, if they're undertaking a particular type of project more than others. Any particular trends there that you're noticing?
That's a very difficult one to answer, Amy, because I think if we look at most of our clients, they have got assets that probably fall into many different categories. And so there are major projects that the big instos are looking at doing, and there are more sort of minor repositionings, if you like, of assets, assessing and then analyzing the asset or the portfolio of assets is absolutely critical. Different clients treat things in a different way, and some will look at a portfolio level and some will look in much detail at individual assets. But where we're helping our clients is at both those levels.
And the thing to add there is, depending which fund or what the holding structure is, whether it's an opportunistic or value add play versus a core asset, that's going to affect how much the investor wants to rethink the asset.
So what are some of the most common value add strategies we're seeing office owners implement?
A theme that is increasingly cropping up is the brown to green angle, where you take an existing brown building and you can repurpose it, reposition it, retrofit it, or refurbish it and increase the asset value, improve the rent it commands, improve the occupier experience. All that comes into play.
I was going to echo what Christine said there. I think, again, each individual asset does have to be looked at by our clients in order to assess what is the best return that they're going to get for the work that potentially they can do. So our project team is constantly looking at a range of different options for the building in conjunction with the other parts of our business, whether it's the leasing inputs that are required or the investment yields that are required for exit. Yeah, how does all that play together in order to provide the best advice to the client as to which route they should be taking for the repositioning of the building?
And would you say this is the first time in your experience in commercial real estate we've seen so much focus on the office and how it needs to be reconsidered?
I think there's always been a focus on the office because historically it's been the largest real estate asset class, investable asset class. So it's always had a focus, but I think where things have changed is now that pivot to the sustainability side. That is now the number one criteria that's being considered by occupiers and also, of course, by the investor owner themselves.
We might pivot a little bit now away from the building itself and more towards the economic factors underlying the market at the moment. James, you mentioned in your first answer about US contagion and the impact it may or may not have on the Asia Pacific market. Do you expect to see defaults here in the region, even if on a smaller scale than what is being predicted in the US?
Far fewer, to be honest with you, Amy, for the reasons that I outlined at the start. We do not have the same fundamentals that maybe there are in the US. And I also mentioned in the US that I think, you know, that is being largely contained at the moment. And there are some indicators, obviously, that is improving. So I'm expecting much less of an issue for the offices sector in Asia Pacific.
To finish off, I'd be interested to hear from both of you how you see the office as a sector evolving in the coming years.
Well, I think the conclusion to all of that is that the office is here to stay. And we're seeing that from our big occupier clients, and we're seeing it from our investor clients as well, who ultimately are going to be investing in their office assets. But there is work to be done given the change that we're seeing around sustainability and workplace.
These days, occupiers are about sustainable, tech-savvy spaces that promote well-being and collaboration. Investors are diving into CapEx projects. They're incorporating smart technologies, boosting energy efficiency, and going for those green certifications. Plus, they're making sure that the tenant and visitor experience within the buildings get some serious upgrades as well. And what's the big goal here? It's to keep those occupants happy and coming back for more. It's all about boosting occupier satisfaction, locking in these renewals, and staying ahead of the game in the cutthroat world of commercial real estate.
James, Christine, thanks for your time today.
A pleasure, Amy.
You've been listening to the final episode in this series of Conversations by Cushman & Wakefield. My guests today were James Young, Head of Investor Services for EMEA and APAC, and Christine Ho, Associate Director of Client Services. You can find links to further reading and other episodes in the show notes. Thanks to Maxwell Love and Brad Bourne for their help producing this episode. I'm Amy Kelly. Thanks for joining.